This is the Illuminate Podcast, a Sandy Boy production. Each week on the Illuminate Podcast, the hosts will bring you insightful conversations and stories of people who are illuminating their own lives through their business, work, community, family, and world.
Hello, and welcome to the Illuminate Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Donahue. In this episode, we are talking with my dear friend, Scarlett Stanhope, the Biz Hippie. Scarlett is an abundance coach and helps people master their money and their own self-worth to empower and enable them to live their most abundant life. We talk a lot about money and our relationship with money. The wisdom that she has is ageless and, quite honestly, topicless. It can apply to so many different aspects of our lives. We discuss the ways in which we can all break old belief systems and patterns and take very practical steps to creating the lives that we truly want to live. If you want more, check us out on patreon.com/illuminatepod. You can also follow us on social media, and as always, please let us know what topics you would like to hear more of. But for now, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Scarlett. Okay, welcome to the Illuminate Podcast. Today, my guest is a dear friend of mine, Scarlett Stanhope, the Biz Hippie. So welcome, Scarlett.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on your podcast today.
It was funny. I was actually just going through your Instagram last night, and then I went to your website and it said something about like the podcast nomad. And I thought that was hilarious. I was like, well, thanks for wandering on here with us today.
Yep. That's exactly what I do. I'm like podcast to podcast. This is the way to do it.
That's amazing. So listeners, just a little background. I met Scarlett, what was it, Scarlett, now 2 years ago, yeah, give or take? Yeah, at a retreat, a yoga and meditation retreat in Costa Rica. And I just thought that she was just the absolute coolest, such an ethereal, you know, power, tour de force. And when I started taking on, or somebody coming on this podcast and bringing you guests, I said, oh my gosh, Scarlett, like, duh. I have to get her on. So let's talk about you, Scarlett. Enough about me. So let's tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, just absolutely.
The listeners a little intro.
Yeah. So my MO is the Biz Hippie. For those of you who are just meeting me now, Scarlett, aka the Biz Hippie. And really where that comes from is my mission to combining these two parts of myself. The one part of me that's all like business, go-getter, driven, you know, kind of more that masculine action person. And then there's the feminine, hippie, flowy freedom. You know, that's who you met in Costa Rica, was the like flowy pants, free, abundant spirit. And so my journey has been bringing both of those together to create what I believe is my most abundant and thriving life. And then also getting to support others in that journey and finding this balance between the biz and the hippie so that we can create lives that we actually really love and enjoy.
I love that. And that's why I think I resonate so much with you, is because I feel like there's a big part of that in myself. Like part of me is very, very, you know, business focused and job focused, and I live in spreadsheets and Excel this and Excel that. But then also, you know, I'm down with the Costa Rican rainforest jungle yoga retreat. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners who probably just instantly identify with that. Like, I feel like there's two parts of me, and how could I possibly bring that together? And so that's why I definitely wanted to have you on, because you are the living embodiment of blending those two seemingly kind of like juxtaposed positions into one. You know, like you said, your most authentic, abundant self.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it really is about finding that balance, especially because nowadays in society, especially in this Western Americanized world that we live in, there is such a huge focus on the spreadsheets and the doer and the making a lot of money and being really successful and working really hard until you burned out. You know, like that's really what is idolized and prioritized and deemed important. And then on the flip side of that, we have the artists who are the starving artists. And it's like, okay, you can follow that path, but they're on the full other end of the spectrum.
Right.
And there isn't really this aligned archetype of having both and being allowed to have both and embody both and do it in a way where you're honoring your responsibilities, where you are showing up as a real contributing human to society, but you're also allowed to do things that you enjoy and you're allowed to do things that feel good. And I really am committed to changing that narrative and believing that we can have both. We can live a life that we love and feel responsible and supported in the life that we're creating without having to compromise or sacrifice one or the other.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think it's such a wonderful, kind of one of the first times I've actually seen this. Like, you can have both. You don't have to be one or the other. You don't have to be a burnt out, like, successful, quote unquote, human or the starving artist. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be both, which is amazing.
Exactly.
And one of your main parts of your business and what you do is empowered abundance. And I think that really, you know, that's, I think, what listeners, you want to hear about right now. So it's kind of like, tell us about what is, you know, in your business, in the Biz Hippie, what is empowered abundance?
Yeah. And that is such a great question that I could really look at from so many different angles. And so empowered abundance is my signature coaching offer, my signature program, because I am a coach. I support other people walking this path, especially other coaches and entrepreneurs and healers and yoga instructors. I support them in finding this balance where they can get to live the lives that they love and they can support themselves doing it. And I do it by looking through the lens of money. And so this program has been me in my journey and all the tools and skill sets that I have gathered along the way to be able to live this life for myself and combining all of those skill sets together. You know, I have a background in business management, accounting, and finance. I worked for a personal budgeting company. And then I that was my whole business era. And then I threw that aside and I said, I'm going to be a coach. I'm going to be a yoga instructor. I'm going to be a Reiki practitioner. I'm going to travel and attend retreats and be super woo woo. That's enter the hippie era. Mm-hmm. And so this program has been bringing both of those aspects together. Now in this program, we combine the tangible aspects of money mastery with the deep introspective coaching aspects of dispelling scarcity, dispelling limiting beliefs, and tapping into your abundance so that as you go through this work, you learn to master your money, wield your power, own your worth so that you can create the life that you want to live is really the overall picture of what this is.
And it's such a simple concept, but it's such a an important concept. And I think, you know, just being in the space where, you know, I too am a yoga instructor certified. And, you know, I kind of dabbled with that thought of, oh, maybe, you know, maybe I will take this full time. And I think a lot of those in the, you know, healing community or the, I love, you know, I call it this too, like the woo-woo community, right? Like I'm one of them, so that's not a knock. But how, you know, you must feel guilty about charging for your services, right? Because you should be, quote unquote, should be giving and self-sacrificing to the point where maybe you can't survive, right? And so I love the fact that you are coaching people in this space to say, no, actually, know your worth. Like, this is your time, this is your energy. And yeah, you can charge for that. And that's okay. That's not selling out to the man or capitalism or, whatever you want to call that. So I would imagine that you do find a lot of this with your clients, right? A lot of that fear or like, I couldn't possibly, tell us a little bit about, how you work through maybe that, let's call it a block, right? Or that fear or whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love this topic that you brought up, especially being in the industry of being a healer, being a coach, being someone who is doing this work for an important reason, an intentional reason. You know, we all get into this work with the intention of our own healing journey, but then also supporting others in their healing journey. And many of us have a big vision of having a huge positive impact on the world. You know, that is a really of service vision. And I know that's certainly my vision as well. And so the foundational or customary traditional beliefs around money is that if you are asking for money, then you are taking from somebody and you're not serving them. You're not helping them. You're not supporting them. And you're greedy and you're selfish and you're taking. And, you know, this is actually very inaccurate. And this is a hurdle and a belief that so many coaches, healers, entrepreneurs have to overcome in order to actually make money doing what they love. And it might feel selfish to ask for money, but it's not. And there's a couple of reasons why. One is that you have to support yourself in order to support others, right?
Definitely.
Your cup has to be full in order to fill others' cups. So as you take care of yourself, as you're able to pay your bills, as you're able to buy groceries and feed yourself and have a place to live, that actually expands your capacity to give. And so it's vital that you're able to take care of your self-care. And so asking for that money is actually perpetuating your ability to serve. So that's one reason. The other reason, and this one is my personal favorite, is that actually requesting monetary exchange from somebody can support and amplify the transformation that they are able to receive throughout your time together.
That's really interesting.
Because, and you wouldn't necessarily think it's true, but it's because you are committing more to the transformation. For example, when I first started my business, and I'm sure this has happened to other people as well, like I signed up for a bunch of free shit or like really low cost stuff. I remember I bought like bundles of courses. I paid $100 for like 200, 300 courses that were all about like business. Like, this is how you do emails. This is how you do social media. This is how you get clients. You know how many of those courses I actually watched? Like maybe five.
I'm sure
maybe,
of it.
Maybe. Right. And then I signed up for a bunch of like freebies and things like that. But I never implemented on anything. I never committed to anything. And that's because I didn't have the commitment level. I didn't have the stake in the ground. And the way that we create things in our life is we have to commit to them. We have to take action on them. And the way in which we create things, the way in which we take action on things is through how we spend our time, our energy, and our money. And so you can commit your time and energy to something. You know, you can have a huge commitment to something that's free. But for most of us, when you get the money involved, you're saying like, yes, I am committed to this. I am making it happen no matter what. Like, I'm going to show up for this. I'm going to dedicate my time to it. I'm going to dedicate my energy to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are charging a rate that is pushing just up against the edge of your client's comfort zone, first of all, you're giving them an opportunity to expand what they believe is possible for them, to say, yes, I can make this happen. And secondly, when they do say yes, you have already, in so many ways, guaranteed that they are going to get some level of transformation because they had such a large commitment to it. And simply That's really that commitment, simply saying yes, simply making the investment already starts to get those results in motion.
Mm. And it's more like a calculated investment, right? It's not, you know, to your point, like, oh, let me just sign up for free stuff and I'll maybe I'll get something out of it. It's like almost like you get what you pay for type of deal. And it's a very intentional exchange of matter, energy, what you want to call it, currency. Again, whether it's time, energy, or that like dollar, right? And it's an exchange of a currency. So that's a really interesting kind of concept and approach that you have to working with your people too. And in that, it just made me think of a question. Like, do you feel like a lot of maybe pressure to kind of show up for those who are investing in working with you? I would imagine, but I don't want to speak for you.
Right. Exactly. That's the other side of this coin as well. And this comes back to figuring out what to charge in this industry, especially where it's not necessarily something tangible.
Sure.
It's not like, it cost me $5 to make this shirt. It's like, no, how do you put a number on now you get to live your best thriving life? You know,
right,
it's hard
right.
to put a number on it.
Yeah.
And so it's this delicate balance of what do you believe that you are capable of delivering? That's the other component, because so many coaches, and this was me early on in my coaching, was I charged very little or I offered free sessions.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, there was no commitment from the other person. So they like flaked on me often. We didn't really get anywhere in the sessions. They weren't really committed to the work. They weren't ready for the transformation. And on my end, I was kind of like, whatever. You know, what, like a little bit, whatever. Like, yes, it was important to me. Yes, I showed up, but I wasn't that committed to like really, really delivering at the highest level of value that I can possibly deliver.
Yeah.
And so this is an important pricing formula that I go through with my clients of, you know, finding that level where you're pushing your own boundary of what you believe you can deliver. And this is also delicate because, you know, some people, I remember getting advice earlier on in business where it was like, charge high ticket, like you're worth more. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to charge like this crazy high amount that I've never charged before. But subconsciously, I didn't believe I was capable of delivering at that value. You know, I was like, I'm going to charge this, but I don't think I can deliver.
Right.
They're
going to see through me, or oh my God, like, who do I think I am? Yeah,
exactly. So I didn't have the confidence to back it up. So you know how many sales I made at that rate? None, because I didn't want to sell at that rate. I wasn't ready to sell at that rate because I didn't want to get screwed later when I couldn't deliver.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, slowly as I built my skill set, as I, you know, became a better coach through practice, and I started to recognize my own value increase, I was able to find that rate where it was like the highest ticket rate that I had charged up to that point that I knew I could deliver on, but it was a little scary. It was like, I think I can deliver at it, but I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to do it. And that really pushed me to expand the value that I could deliver. So this is really a two-way street. When you find that perfect balance of pricing, you're able to deliver at a higher value and increase your confidence to deliver at that value. And then you're also guaranteeing that client who's ready to commit at that level even more results because of that commitment as well.
That's a really just like, it's, I could listen to you go on about this for forever, right? Because I think, you know, while we're talking about your coaching business and finding that value, I think this is really almost universal in a lot of different contexts, right? Whether it is working in kind of the healing or coaching arts, whether it is, you know, working in corporate America, right? Trying to maybe justify why you should ask for a raise, or whether it's, you know, any other sort of, you know, entrepreneurial space or self-business, right? That both sides of that coin are very important part of this equation, right? In what you're delivering to your clients and what your clients are expecting, vice versa. And that really brings me to another, I guess, in the same vein, but kind of taking this conversation a little bit different direction. You talk a lot about your relationship with money. And that's what you coach. And that's what I think you've explored a lot in your, you know, in your personal life and in your business. So when people hear, like, what do you mean a relationship with money? Isn't it just like a means to an end? Or this is just, I need this to pay my electricity. What is my relationship with money? And how does that help us grow, you know, spiritually and evolve? So if you don't mind,
yeah,
I'd love to hear a little bit more about your thoughts on this concept of one's relationship with money.
Yeah, and that is such a great question. And you know what? I also think that it is on totally on the same vein of what we're talking about.
Mm.
Because your relationship with money is, you know, all of the feelings, thoughts, and beliefs that you have around money. And there, you know, there's a couple different ones that people have, and there's a lot of similarities across the board.
Sure.
Now, for the most part, your relationship with money is likely passed down from your parents.
Oh,
so
yeah.
whatever your parents' relationship with money is, and what I mean by relationship with money is how they talked about money, how you think about money, how they acted around money. You know, I talked to some people where they grew up and money was scarce and their parents fought about it
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah.
And so they penny pinched and saved and they felt like they couldn't get by and they can't spend anything and they can't afford anything. You know, that relationship with money infiltrates you. And so when you're spending your money or receiving your money, there's an energy attached to it. There's a vibe attached to it. And it might be like, oh, I don't want to spend this because I'm losing my money because I don't have enough.
Sure.
And there's these underlying beliefs that are driving how you spend money, how you wield your money in this life. And many people have a relationship with money, have beliefs that are rooted in scarcity, that are rooted in there's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough for me. I'm not worthy of receiving it. And starving artist syndrome is a thing. Like, if I want to live the life I want, then I'm not going to be allowed to have money in the process. And it's all these fear and scarce beliefs that drive how we interact with the world through how we use our money.
Right. And it brings me back to like, or it makes me think of like, you get back what you put out, right? That mentality. And if you're attaching these beliefs and, you know, this energy or these vibes to the way you exchange your money, you know, when that's going out, that's exactly what's going to come back almost. And it perpetuates,
absolutely,
like it's almost generational, right? Like I was thinking about when you're saying, you know, it's maybe passed down from family or, you know, your direct environment. Like that's so true. Like even today I have, you know, a very, let's say complicated relationship with money in that there's never going to be enough, right? There's never going to be enough. So that's why I think, you know, I know I'm not the only one. I'm guaranteed that I'm not the only one sitting here in that position. So it's really interesting and beautiful to hear about, you know, the way you would change your mindset on almost anything. You can change your mindset in that energy and that kind of manifestation approach or whatever you want to call it to money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what you're saying. What you put out, you get back, because this is the way that I like to see, you know, manifestation. Sometimes manifestation is this like very woo-woo, intangible. Is it going to happen? Is it
sure.
not? I'm just going to wish and cross my fingers.
Yeah.
Right. But I look at manifestation in a really like practical and tangible way. And it's simple math. The action that you take creates your results.
Mm-hmm.
You put action out, you get results back. Your action is motivated by something. something is motivating or driving your action. And those are your beliefs, your sure. motivation. And many people are motivated by fear. They're mm-hmm. motivated by fear. They're motivated by, I'm never going to have enough money. So I need to work really, really hard so that I can make more money, so that I can do the things I want to do, right? But fear is the thing driving the action. Mm-hmm. And so therefore the results you're going to get is just more of that fear. And how we take action in the world is by how we spend our time, our energy, and our money. So the way that you put money out into the world, the way you bring money in, is really, really important, because sure. it is literally how you manifest and create your life, is right. through the exchange of money. That's what the modern day world is. And so bringing a lot of awareness to, what am I prioritizing? What am I choosing? What am I acting on? What am I choosing to bring into my life? And also, why? Why am I choosing to spend money on the things I'm spending them on? Or why yeah. am I choosing to work as many hours as I'm choosing to work at a job I may or may not like? Like, what is literally driving the exchange of money and what I am choosing to create in my life as a result?
Yeah. And that's, that's what I think of, without having taken any of your courses or working directly with you in this coaching, just knowing a little bit about, you and your philosophy from, kind of being on the outside and working with you in other contexts. But that's what I really find interesting and kind of novel in this empowered abundance concept, right? Because what you just said there really hits on a couple of things. Like, when we think of abundance, right? Maybe it's just me. My kind of frame of reference, you think automatically of, oh, to your point, I need to work my ass off and I need to work till I'm dead, and then I'll have a lot of money and then I'll be okay and then I'll be empowered. Or, whatever kind of, preconceived notion you have. But I like how you're taking this empowered abundance and putting it to the person with whom you're working, right? Like, what is your definition of empowered? And to your point, like, why are you buying that? Like, who says? Or why do you feel like you need that? Like, who says? Is that really empowering you? So correct me if I'm misinterpreting it, but that's what it seems like you're going with your clients and those with whom you work again.
Absolutely. Right. Because everybody's definition of their best life is different. And a lot of us are operating from, just the societal norm mm-hmm. blueprint of mm-hmm. like, have a super awesome career, like be a doctor or a lawyer and make a certain amount of money and live in a high rise, like
buy Gucci bags or whatever,
right, right. But it has nothing to do with what we actually want and mm-hmm. what makes us happy. So like, really getting clear on, who am I? What do I want? What's important to me? What life do I want to live, and how can I literally create that? And so it's not only everybody's unique definition of empowered, it's also changing the definition of abundance.
True.
Because abundance seems like this, I'm going to work really hard and then someday I'll have a lot of money to do the things I want to do.
But or I'll win the lottery right. and then I'll have abundance, right?
Exactly. Here's the thing about abundance. It is not based on an amount of money. There's not like a certain threshold that you hit and it's like, and now I am abundant. How I know this is, I talk to a lot of people about money. I've talked to people who have very, very little money, who are struggling and who are in debt. And they like are super stressed about money. Obviously, they're feeling very scarce. They feel like they're living paycheck to paycheck and they can't get by. Then I talk to people who have very solid, secure 9-to-5 jobs. They're making plenty of money to take care of all of their expenses. And I talk to them and they're super stressed about money. They feel like they're living paycheck to paycheck. They feel like they're barely getting by.
Yeah.
And it's because it's not based on the amount. It's based on your perceived amount, your mm-hmm. perceived how much money you have. And so abundance is all about like, what am I choosing to do with what I have? What am I choosing to prioritize? What life am I choosing to create? And even if you don't have the whole, like, complete long-term vision of, like, this is exactly what I'm going to be when I grow up, I'm going to be a millionaire and I'm going to have lots of money. Even if you're not there, you can still create your best, most abundant life from where you are now. And I do have an example of this, like, earlier on in my business, and really when I first started my journey, I didn't have a lot of money. You know, I was very new in business. I was blowing through my savings in order to start my business. But something that was important to me, something that was a reflection of my most abundant life, was being able to give money to some charities and organizations that I really believe in. You know, like, I really care about the environment. I, in my vision of living my most abundant life, have an overabundance of money where I can give generously. So I said to myself, like, why do I have to wait until I have tons and tons of money and become this huge philanthropist? Like, what can I do right now with what I have to already live this vision, already live this dream? So if my most abundant self gives money to causes I believe in, then how about with the money I have, I give to causes I believe in now, you know? And it's a smaller amount than the grand vision, but the effort and the action is still the same. It's right. I'm abundant enough to give to causes I believe in, and therefore I am abundant. And I get to create that result right now for myself, and therefore create the belief that I am already abundant right now, and therefore I'm already living my abundant life, no matter how much money I have.
I love that. I really do. And I think it's, you know, when whatever your definition of abundance is, right? Like, you want to give. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people would want to do that, right? But again, that preconceived notion of, no, I have to have just like crazy amount of surplus, or I have to be, you know, Bill Gates in order to give anything of significance to charities. Like, no, you're starting that habit, you're starting that that repetitive kind of action that you were talking about into manifesting what you want later down the road. And it doesn't have to be this grandiose amount or gesture, whatever it, you know, whatever it is you're doing. You can start small at that very micro level and plant those seeds, so to say.
Right. Because I really believe that you can live your best life starting now. Mm-hmm. And then there's room to continue to grow. Sure. And like giving to charity, like that was just one example.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it shows up in all ways. You know, other examples are like, I want to live in a space where I can have my own yoga room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to like create that. And so many people would think of that and be like, ah, someday I'll have that. But then me, I look at, okay, well, what can I do with what I have? Mm-hmm. And so I recognize, oh, you know what? There's actually this space that exists in my house that's full of clutter that doesn't get used at all. And in my mind, it doesn't even exist. What if I just clean this space and made this space my yoga room? It might not be the grand vision yet, but just if I say I want a yoga room, how about I create a yoga room right now? Or even like a yoga square, just to be like, this is my yoga room. You know, you can find a way to create it.
Yeah, exactly. Move enough stuff off the floor to put down a yoga mat. Optional even, right?
Exactly.
But I hear what you're saying. And I think that's like, it's so universal, right? I mean, even for myself, and I'm sure a lot of listeners are like, you're putting together your own examples of this, whether it is, you know, monetary focused or whatever, like, oh, I want to get in shape, but I'm never going to be, you know, what I think in shape should be. No, not unless you start now. Or, you know, whatever example you want. I want to start eating organic, but it's too expensive and I can't. Like, well, let me just buy like organic carrots today.
Right.
Just
right.
Start, you know, whatever the example is. And I love that. And that's why I think your program and your coaching is so unique, but also so applicable and universal to so many things. Right. And I think a lot of that fear that people have about starting whatever it is does come back to money, right? Does come back to that. I could never because I'm not financially secure enough, or I don't have the money, or whatever excuses. So I would imagine that, you know, even if people are listening, right, and I'm going to put all your information in the notes for this episode, of course. So if you want to get a hold of Scarlett, then I got you guys. But what would you say to somebody who's like, oh, this might sound like something for me, but I don't even know where to start. Like, how do I do this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the biggest starting point is all about awareness.
Mm.
And this is why in Empowered Abundance, we start the process of really managing your money and being in control of your money. So yes, we address the belief and your relationship with money, but we also, a huge part of the relationship is managing it. And the reason why that's so important is because that is bringing awareness to what you're prioritizing, what you're choosing, and what you're creating in your life. And mm-hmm. so, like, bare minimum, I always recommend getting your financial reality on paper.
You Nobody know? Wants so, to do that. Ew. Like,
I know. People are like, that sounds horrible. But, you know, where is your money coming in?
It's so true, right? You have to face the facts.
Right. Exactly. Because that's your life on paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. it's what your life looks like on paper through the lens of money. So sure. if you get clearly established, where's my money coming in? Where's my money going out? Then you can have the power to make decisions, intentional decisions about your life. And many people recognize like, oh, you know what? I don't want to watch as much TV as I watch. In fact, when I envision my best life, I'm not really watching TV that much. So let me take an action that aligns with that best life and cancel one of these subscriptions. Doesn't have to be all of them, but yeah. like, okay, maybe I'm going to get rid of Hulu.
Need 89 streaming services?
Right, exactly. Like starting to cut out the things that are not in alignment, and then also starting to recognize, okay, what is most important to me and how can I move stuff around to prioritize that?
Mm-hmm.
Like getting back to organic produce,
sure.
you know, if that's something that your best self prioritizes, how can you start to prioritize that now and say, okay, eating healthy actually is top priority for me. I'm going to make sure I'm able to spend more on my groceries each month. And you know, what's less important to me is shopping at TJ Maxx because I have too much stuff anyway. And I, you know, it's just not in alignment for me. And
yeah.
I want to become more minimalist and I actually want to donate some of these clothes that I have. So then you like take some money out of what usually goes to shopping and you intentionally choose to put it towards what is important to you. So,
yeah.
you know, the beauty of getting financial awareness is you just have so much more power and control over your life and you get to prioritize what would my best self choose? What would my best self prioritize in my best life? How am I living and how can I start to choose that now by how I'm moving my money?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that makes total sense, right? And it's starting from that micro level. Getting a budget on paper, which again, believe me, listeners, I don't want to do it either. I'm into girl math where it's like, oh yeah, I had a rough week. Let me treat myself. But if that isn't your end goal, right? Or if, you know, trying to break that cycle of, oh, I don't have enough. Like, well, let's look at this, right? And
right.
so I think having someone, you know, in your life, in one's life, in my life, whoever's life, like that can actually kind of work with you and sit down and say, let's look at this, right? Like, let's prioritize, let's reprioritize mm-hmm. is something that is incredibly valuable. And yeah, I mean, just listening to this, like, I should probably sign up with Scarlett. Like,
yeah. yeah. Well, because that's the other reason why it's so valuable to have support. And
right.
the other reason why I even do this in the first place is because I had a friend who said, hey, I'm really struggling. And I said, actually, I have a ton of skills that I can support you with. Yeah. And I realized working with her and continuing to work with my clients that the biggest aspect is just having someone else there to hold your hand and mm-hmm. also dedicate the time to it, because mm-hmm. it's easy to put off.
Oh,
it's
sure.
easy yeah. to keep putting off for mm-hmm. the rest of your life, unless you have made the commitment, right? This yep. comes back to that investment. And then you're able to put the time in, you're like willing to show up for yourself. And so yeah. it's really valuable to, because it can be sticky, it can be challenging, it can be something that we want to avoid. But you know what else happens is so many people I work with, they're like, I do not want to manage my money. Like I am afraid to manage my money. I want to avoid
it.
It's the most stressful thing in the world. We start doing this work. We get it on paper. I have some super awesome templates. It's yeah. like easy. It's step by step. We do it. And then they say, oh my gosh, Scarlett, it's fun. It's fun now. Now it's fun to manage my money. I actually had a friend who I told for years. I said for years, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I have so much fun managing my money. And she thought I was crazy. Then
it's really scary.
Terrifying. Absolutely. Then she did this empowered abundance work. And then a few months later, she texted me. She was like, I finally get it. I finally get what you mean when you said it's fun to manage your money. And I was like, see, like it's possible. In fact, when you do this kind of work, it becomes inevitable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the thing that is, or one of the things, because there are so many things about you that are incredible, but listeners, you would think that I was talking to, you know, I don't know, let's see, 60 plus year old financial advisor. And this is not a dig. This is actually a testament to your maturity, your intelligence, your, you know, your business acumen and your commitment to being your most authentic self. But correct me if I'm like, you're not even 30 yet, right?
That is accurate.
That's what I thought. Like, listeners, this woman that I'm talking to right now, if I was like that in my 20s, like, yeah, I wonder where I would be right now. And you just have this beautiful, healthy relationship with your business, this confidence that, you know, it's infectious, right? It's, you know, talking to you and just seeing you and working with you in other contexts, it's you're a magnet, right? In this incredible way. And I think what you do for people is so amazing, right? And with that confidence, right? Tell me and tell us about, you know, maybe some of the steps that it took to get to here, right? Maybe some things you had to unlearn about yourself. I know you've alluded to many of them already, but, you know, when you decided, when you made that decision to say, nope, I'm leaving the business Blazers over here and I'm going to pursue this because this is too strong of a calling for me. So if you don't mind, you take our listeners through a little bit of that process from getting from point A to point now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Cause it was just that, a journey. Mm-hmm. And it was honestly, even though I'm through many eyes, I'm young and I'm like doing this from a young age. It took me several years to get to where I am now. And luckily I started early, and it came from hitting a major, major rock bottom in my life at mm-hmm. a young age. And I'm someone who really relates to scarcity and fear, because that is what dictated and drove my entire life up until the age of 20, 21, mm-hmm. because, you know, my only focus was on making money, on being successful, on getting the job title, on getting the career, of being as, quote, successful as I could be based on society standards.
Yeah.
And so I pursued that type of lifestyle. You know, I was managing restaurants when I was 18 years old because I wanted to be like the best and have a lot of authority and make a good amount of money for my age.
Sure.
At the time. But at the same time, like, I became a shell of a human, like literally a zombie in my own life. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know things that I liked or disliked or enjoyed. I was just going with the flow of what I thought I was supposed to be doing, how I thought life was supposed to be, what I thought I was supposed to be focusing on or doing. And I totally lost myself along the way. I really didn't even know who I was. And it was a slow journey crawling out of that, but I nearly killed myself in the process many times because I was just like, had no will to live, was incredibly unhealthy, was in a really bad relationship, was in a toxic work environment, like disconnected from my family, like low of the low.
Yeah.
And it took me hitting that rock bottom and being faced with like death to be like, this is the end. And me thinking, you know what? I just can't live this way anymore. Like, I cannot live this way anymore. And it took that one spark of inspiration for me to start crawling out of this hole, to start choosing, okay, well, what do I want? Who am I? You know, I used to think I had no control over life. I was just living with circumstances and letting life push me around. And because I had a bunch of like unaddressed stories and beliefs and patterns, you know, that just surrender took me down a really negative path. And so I realized over time that I was the one in control, that I was the one that was creating my life, that I was the only one who could make decisions about my life and the life that I want to live, and that it was up to me to do something about it. And that was something I never realized. And so bit by bit, I started to take back control, take back power, rediscover who the heck I even was, and start to make decisions and choices in alignment with that. And then the journey just unfolded from there.
Yeah.
It took several years, but from then to now, everything has changed. Like, I am a totally and completely different person. And I'm so grateful for that moment that I woke up and realized, like, what am I waiting for?
Yeah.
What am I waiting for life to start, for life to change, for life to get better? And realizing that it was up to me to make it happen.
No, and I mean, it's so true, right? Like, I think so many of us, and just hearing, and I hope, you know, I hope listeners, so you're getting as like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, yeah, girl, yeah, like I'm going to share. But it's so true, right? Because hearing that passion and that, you know, that just assured, I don't know, just truth coming out of your mouth is just really like, oh my God, yeah, you know what? Like, it is my choice to do with this life what I want and what is best for me. And that is a really hard pattern to break, that thinking of like, no, I'm just, life is happening to me, right? And this is the best I'm going to get. And, you know, a lot of situations are tough, right? And it's different for everybody. But what I love about you is that you walk the walk, right? Not only do you talk the talk, but you walk the walk, and you have in your life. And that's why I think you bring so much authenticity to what you do and your approach and how you work with your clients. And that, you know, it's a really wonderful lesson for anybody in any point of life. You know, you did it at a younger age, you know, but who's to say that somebody couldn't do that in their 80s? If life isn't really working out, or if they're not happy, like, let's change it, right? Or let's start taking action. And there's many different ways to do that. You focus on, you know, many things. I mean, like, you're a little Renaissance goddess, right? Like, you do it all. But I think this empowered abundance is something that is, you know, just so universal, so transferable, and it sets up us, you know, people in a really, really strong direction. So with that, you know, where do you see the future of biz hippie or empowered abundance going?
Yeah, that's a great question. And just to highlight on what you're saying to anybody who's listening to this and is thinking like, oh, someday, like it, you can do it now. And it is just up to you to say now. it's up to you. It's up to you to start. And so, yeah, the future of Biz Hippie is to keep doing this work. I have dreams of really big positive impact. And I work with those who also have dreams of big positive impact. I work with those who also have these beliefs and are ready to change this world that we're living in so that we can all live the lives that we want to live and also get to be supported in that life. And so changing that stigma and that belief. And so continuing to work with clients in empowered abundance and expanding that reach. And then also I have other opportunities as well. Like this upcoming year, I'm starting a online community as well called Aligned Abundant Life. That's all about living your aligned abundant life and having the support system and some, you know, flowing structure to support you in that journey. Mm-hmm. And so expanding the community is really the big, big picture. And, you know, I have other dreams and visions for it as well of what that will turn into, but continuing to expand this core mission that we all get to live our best lives. And I believe that that is possible for everybody.
And I mean, it's, again, I know we're looking at each other, listeners, you'll hear the audio of this only, unfortunately, but, you know, I can see how excited that you get. And I can see that as you have been committed to yourself, as you've been committed to your business thus far, like, there's no doubt in my mind that, like, I'm just waiting for the TED Talk, honestly.
So it's, like, it's on its way.
Where are you guys? when is, you know, when are you going to take over the world? Because it's coming. So I'm so excited for you. And I think, you know, I can't wait to see what else you do. And it's been such a pleasure talking with you. I mean, I would love to keep talking to you forever and ever and ever. But unfortunately, you know, we're going to have to wrap this up a little bit. But if you would indulge me just a little bit longer, we like to ask all of our guests a few kind of, let's say, end of show questions, right? And what, given that this is a podcast, what other podcasts are you listening to, if any? I know that you are the self-proclaimed podcast nomad, so I'm sure you have no shortage of podcasts that you like.
Yeah, that's a great question. I jump between a couple different podcasts often. One of my favorites is the Get Enlifted podcast. Actually, I listen often to the Get Enlifted podcast. Enlifted is one of the coaching certifications that I am certified in.
Okay.
And it's all about language, mindset, and transforming your stories. And so that podcast is absolutely amazing. It's all about, you know, taking back, getting out of the victim mode and getting in control of your life. So it's, you know, along a similar vein of everything that I believe in and talk about. And there's incredible, incredible guests on that podcast, including me. I think I'm episode 100, maybe 101. But anyway,
it's a good number. It's a solid number.
Yeah. I'm like the last episode of season one. That's a really cool podcast because there's a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different topics, and a lot of amazing people. So that's one of my favorites.
That's awesome. And then any books that you're reading or have read recently that you recommend?
Oh my gosh, this one's so much harder. Okay. I have a reading goal every year. It's increased one book each year. So this year's 2023. So it was 13 books because I started in 2020 and I have surpassed my reading goal. I've read 18 books so far this year. And I'm like, this has never happened to me ever. I'm like just crazily reading. So it's hard for me to narrow down.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, let's continue on the money vein because, okay.
Why not?
So The Soul of Money is the best, like totally changed my whole entire mindset around money. In fact, in the Empowered Abundance program, it is a required reading book.
Interesting.
Okay. So if you want to get an advance on your Empowered Abundance homework, I highly recommend The Soul of Money. Another one is Existential Kink. That's the other required reading book for the Empowered Abundance program. That's all about, that's like next level looking at your shadows so that you can take over the world. Like that is just really, really powerful. And then on a totally different vein, I just finished reading Life of Pi because I've never read it before.
That's such a fun read, isn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
But not fun, but it's fun, but it's deep. So those are good. I'm going to have to put those on my to-do list as well. And, you know, I love the fact that you talk about setting goals, even in your reading list. Like, again, you are walking the walk in all aspects. And let me tell you, listeners, like, Scarlett, like, she's a busy girl, like a busy woman, excuse me. Like, it's not like you have all this time to sit around and read. So you make it happen. And I love that. And then, you know, just to kind of wrap up again, you've brought us so much and I wish that we could, you know, have a 18-hour long podcast to talk about this. We'll definitely have to have you back, but you've given us so much to think about. You've given me so much to think about and so much that, you know, I can start to put into practice, setting those small goals, setting that, you know, intent to, if you want to make a change, there are ways to start it. Any other little pearls of wisdom, any Scarlett like truth bombs that you want to drop on our listeners before we wrap up today?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, it is possible for you, even if it feels like it's not possible, it absolutely is. And I'm going to believe that for you until you can believe it for yourself.
I'll believe it for you guys too.
Yeah. You got us in your corner. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is coming back to bringing awareness to money, one of the most valuable things that you can do is come back to the why behind it, right? So recognizing anytime you're taking action in your life, anytime you're spending time, energy, or money, ask yourself why you're choosing what you're choosing. Why are you choosing to watch Netflix right now? Why are you choosing to buy that thing on Amazon right now? Why are you choosing to do this, that, and the other? And when you come back to your why, you can recognize, okay, well, this is what I'm putting out. Is this what I want to be putting in? Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm splurge spending because I'm stressed, and so I'm shopping out of stress, like I'm
putting my hand up.
I'm taking a stress action, so I'm going to get a stress result. And so just come back to your why, come back to your why. And then with that awareness, you can start to choose the why that is actually in alignment with what you want.
I love that. And I think that is just, you know, a perfect place to end. So with that, Scarlett, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for giving us so much to think about. And again, listeners, I will put all of your information, your website, Instagram handle, the whole nine in our notes for this episode. So I encourage you, if this episode made you, you know, push you that much closer to taking that step, then we will give you the info and the tools that you need to take that step. So Scarlett, thank you so much. I adore you. And I think you were amazing. And I am so blessed to have you in my life.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your podcast today. It's been amazing to get to be a guest here.
You're wonderful. Thank you. Okay. I don't know about you, but I feel charged up and really reinvigorated. I am so grateful to Scarlett for sharing her knowledge, her wisdom, and her passion. I hope you enjoyed getting to know Scarlett and took away a sense of possibility and the realization that your life is yours to create. Thank you so much for spending this time with us today on the Illuminate podcast. Until next time.